Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. This is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday all across our Southern Baptist landscape, and pulpits all over America are going to be preaching on the sanctity of life. And your pastor is going to be, has a message geared towards that today. But before I do that, I want to do two things. Number one, one of the things that we've been trying to figure out since March are what local ministries does Second Mile need to partner with? And one of those ministries in town that's vital, I think, to the health of our community is Hope Pregnancy Center. And we have the director from there this morning. She's going to come in just a minute. Martha Sitzler, if I got that right, and her husband Jamie are with us. And she's going to come and just kind of enlighten us what the ministry there is all about and challenge us in something that we're going to partner together with. But before we do that, I wanted to have prayer for how many babies have we had just in the last couple of months? Two or three months? Betty Barnett, help me out. Where are you? How many, Sarah? We've had three babies born that are a part of this church already. You know, I was in a Baptist church 9 months before I was ever born. And people were praying for me before I ever showed up. And that's what we want to do here today. And I know about Lydia and David, and we're going to pray over their baby boy. She's due February the 12th? The 10th, February the 10th. And she's going to take a couple of months off, and we want to pray for their baby. But if there's someone else here today and you're expecting, we want to pray for your new arrival too. So if y'all would just come on over here, and we'll lay hands on you and pray over them. And if you're one of my prayer warriors, I want to invite you to come on and just lay hands on Lydia and David. They don't have a name yet. They've got several names for this baby boy. And they'll let us know, I guess, when the baby's born, what his name is. So y'all come on. Is there anybody else here that's expecting a baby? Right here. Oh, amen. All right. So glad to have y'all.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. My mom and dad prayed for me and my four sisters before we were ever born that we might come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And guess what? God answered that prayer. And my mom has been praying for all of her 14 grandchildren that they would all come to Christ. And that's happened. And now she's got all these great-grandchildren coming into the world. So we want to pray this morning for these expectant mothers. And forgive me, give me your name.
Whitney.
Whitney and
Milliken.
Oh, my, yeah. My. The Millikens just keep coming out of the woodwork. All right. We are glad to have you all today. And we're going to be praying for your baby. When is your baby due?
March
the 6th. Wow. So we got another one coming soon. Amen. And Lydia, I just want you to know we appreciate you and David so much. Thank you for everything you do for the Lord. And this is their second child, and this is your second child. All right. Very good. Well, let's just lay hands on these folks, and let's pray over them right now. Father, you are the creator of life. You're the one who gives life. And you're the one who sustains life. And Father, you're the one who takes us from this life to a greater, grander life. And I want to pray for these two babies that are in their mama's womb right now. And Lord, you're working right there. There is sanctity inside these two mama's wombs. And I pray for these babies, Lord, that they'd have a healthy birth and that both mothers would give birth, that there wouldn't be any complications and any problems. But even more than that, when they're born, Lord, you don't just run off and leave us. And I pray that these two babies might bring you honor, praise, and glory for all of their lives. That's what this life is all about, is bringing glory to Jesus. And so thank you, Lord, for we're looking forward to hearing good news about the arrival and the birth of these two children. Thank you so much for godly parents. Thank you for godly grandparents. And Lord, we want to say thank you for prayer. What a great privilege it is to pray for one another. And Lord, we lift these needs up to you. You're the one who can answer any and all prayers. If everybody on the planet bowed our knees and offered up a prayer all at the same time, God, you'd not only be able to hear every prayer, you could answer every single one of them. What a great God you are. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen. Thank you all. All right, Martha, if you'd come and just share with us. I think we've got everything you need right up here. Yes, yeah, sure, come on up here. We won't bite you, I promise. All right.
Morning, everyone.
Y'all welcome Martha to Second Mile Church. Amen.
Thank you. It is good to be here with you. It was so beautiful to witness that. I love when churches take take seriously that charge to cover families in prayer and to welcome children as a gift from God, because that's what they are. So congratulations to all of you who were up here, and thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. I'm super excited to be here. I've heard good things about Second Mile, and I'm grateful that you are interested in partnering with us, because that is how Hope Pregnancy Center does the work it does, is through the generosity of God's people, through His creative provision, and we are honored that you would want to partner with us. I see a lot of familiar faces here today, and I'm grateful for that. I know many of you know a great deal about Hope Pregnancy Center. I wanted to share some things that I've learned about the center just recently. I have had the privilege of serving as the executive director for 9 years now, 9.5 years, and I love being at Hope. I love being in Clarksville. It's really been on my heart, though, recently to understand the foundations of Hope Pregnancy Center. I know there was a group of Christians in the area that wanted to have a response to the issue of abortion, but it really has been on my heart to dig deeper. And so the Lord reminded me of a donor that I happened to know was involved early on in the ministry, and we met a few weeks ago, and she told me this story that just blew me away. I was so excited to hear that Hope Pregnancy Center exists because one woman was obedient to the call of God on her life. And she told the story of how this woman stood up in church one Sunday, and she shared with the body. It was actually at First Assembly of God. She got up and shared that God had given her a burden for aborted babies and for their mamas, and that she felt that we needed to do something in this community to address the needs of those who were facing that decision. And so she was faithful to do that. And my friend said that she could not respond to that. And she was the first person that approached her after that and said, I have to help you. And so these two women were faithful to pray and began to reach out to pastors and other churches and individuals and businessmen, and they developed a steering committee that eventually turned into Hope Pregnancy Center. I share that because there were three things that she told me that day that really encouraged my spirit and told me that more than 30 years later, we're still moving in the direction that God has for us. And I want to share those with you. They knew right away that it needed to be interdenominational. Brother Cal, I love what you said this morning about there in the Bible, there only talks about one church, and we are all part of that church. And they knew that, and they wanted the work of the center to be an expression of the body of Christ, not a particular expression of that body. And so that heritage is wonderful and something that we really celebrate at Hope. The second thing that I learned is that they knew from the beginning that they needed to address the needs of women and men who had experienced abortion at some point in their life. And I'll be honest with you, over 30 years ago, that was kind of forward thinking. A lot of centers weren't thinking about the healing that really, you know, if we don't talk about the healing that's available at the foot of the cross, the redemption, the reconciliation that's available, the restoration, the pro-life message is incomplete when we don't talk about that. Amen? There is nothing that says that abortion is the unforgivable sin. In fact, in my Bible, it says that there's no sin too great for God to forgive and no hurt too great for him to heal. And when we fall short of sharing that message, we really fall short of sharing the whole gospel. And so that was a huge part of our heritage and a huge part of what we do now. The third thing that I learned was that from the beginning, the leadership of the center was committed to meeting the needs of pregnant women where they were, sharing life with them, sharing hope with them, but also acknowledging their ability to make their own decisions. And so there was no coercion, there was no manipulation, and I'm sad to say that was pretty forward thinking over 30 years ago. They felt enough confidence in God's sovereignty that if a woman walked out the door not having chosen life, that the Lord was still working in her heart and he might change that or he might redeem that and use that later to bring her to himself. And so I'm so grateful for that, because we don't have any right trying to be the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's our job to share truth and to love and to encourage. And so we've been committed to that for over 30 years. I want to share one more thing that I learned with you that day that has encouraged my spirit and reinvigorated me for this work. It can be wearying to serve in frontline ministry and to volunteer, to work in that environment where you're offering life and hope, and some are receiving and some are not. You're sharing the gospel and some are receiving and some are not. But this excited me so much. The person that I met with, my friend, she was also the director of the center for a little while in the beginning. And during that time, she would go to Nashville and meet with the director of the pregnancy center there, and just for encouragement and mentoring and, you know, what do you do when this happens and how do you handle that? And she said one day this lady, the lady from Nashville, her name was Lucy, she said she told me this thing that just like pierced my heart and felt like a prophetic word from God. She said, you know, the reason there is no abortion provider in Clarksville is because God put the center there first. Amen. God put the center there first, and he will not allow an abortion provider to rise up in that community as long as that center is faithfully serving him. And so we praise God for that. 32 years later, that is still true in our heart's desire in partnering with churches like this and with individuals in our area, is that 32 years in the future, that will still be true. And 32 years beyond that, that will still be true, because God is faithful. And he says in his word, I came upon this scripture and it was part of his reminding me of the value of this. In Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And if those foundations are destroyed, what can we do? So thank you. Thank you for being just concerned about the unborn, about women, about couples that are facing unexpected pregnancies. Thank you for partnering with Hope. And I want to tell you about a really practical way you can do that. Our friend Terry, who volunteers at the center, brought some bottles in, and they're in a bin back there. And this, if you've never seen these little baby bottles are part of our Change for Life program. They have an insert that talks about the center. They give you an opportunity to receive a receipt for your donation if you'd like. And then I think the best thing about these is that on them there's a little tag with the name of a baby that was born to one of our clients in the last year. This one's name is Brianna. And Brianna's mama came to our center, and she found hope, and she found the courage and the resources to choose life. And Brianna is living proof that hope is being faithful to the work that God has called us to. And when you fill this bottle with coins or dollars or a check or whatever you want to do, you can pray for Brianna and her family. Pray, just as we prayed for these children here this morning, that they would come to know Christ, that they would grow up in a family that seeks him, and that those lives would be transformed because of the message of the gospel. thank you so much for allowing me to be here, for letting me share my heart, and thank you for filling up your bottle that you can pick up at the end. Jamie and I will be here after the service if you have any questions, but I know there are a lot of people in this congregation that know a lot about hope, so don't be shy about asking. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. What a marvelous, marvelous ministry. How many of you are acquainted with the Hope Pregnancy Center ministry already? Good, good. Hope all of you would pray and figure out a way. Obviously, everybody can grab a baby bottle and take that with you today and begin praying for those babies and support them and that kind of thing. So God bless you all. Martha and Jamie, thank you for what you do for the Lord. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be in Psalms. Psalm 139, if you would find that this morning. And when you find Psalm 139, if you would, I want to invite you, if you can, to honor God's Word by standing while we read the Word of God to the people of God. Psalm 139, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you, capital Y, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Tell somebody, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now listen to this. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hates you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Strong words from the psalmist. And then he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. We have several supporters that are of Second Mile Church that are members of other churches and other fellowships, and the McCutcheons are here, and Mayor Piper and his sweet bride are with us. Mayor Johnny, would you ask God to bless the Word this morning, please, sir? Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. As we've already mentioned, this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And we're going to be preaching on the sanctity of life and the preciousness of life. And I want to just preface everything I'm saying. Martha said it well. We live in a culture of death. And we want to lift up life here this morning. That's what we want to do. And I recognize this issue of abortion and maybe euthanasia and other forms of death have affected a lot of people in this room. And I've talked to a lot of folks over the years. I'll tell you, women are traumatized by what she was talking about. If you've ever had an abortion, man, the guilt and the shame that these ladies carry with them for whatever reason. But I want to tell you, we serve a God who's full of grace and mercy and forgiveness. God is a good God. And whatever it is that you're under conviction about, if you'll come to Jesus just like you are, He will wash you, cleanse you, forgive you, and set you where you need to be so that you can stand strong for His grace and glory. Isn't that good? Let's give God praise today. Hallelujah. But having said all of that, there's a group of people that are having a hard time in our country this morning. 4,000 unborn babies will be aborted by their mothers and their doctor today. Today. Every 20 seconds, a baby is aborted in this country. 180 every hour. During this hour-long service, 180. 4,000 babies today. 3 every minute. I mean, all throughout the day, that's what's going on in this culture of death that we live in. And since 1973, 61 million unborn babies in their mama's womb had been given a poisonous saline solution, dismembering the members of that baby, and then the baby is suctioned off the uterine wall, and tragically that baby is aborted and never gets to experience life. And some of you may be thinking, well, what about rape and incest and the danger of the mother's life during pregnancy and that kind of thing? That happens, about those things happen about 7% of the time in pregnancy. In other words, 93% of those 61 million since 1973 have been aborted because of inconvenience, an unwanted child, peer pressure, not ready to be a parent, a lot of other issues. And so I stand today on behalf of those little unborn children. Somebody needs to speak for them. And I'll tell you what, if the church can't speak for them, who will? You know, animals are more protected than a baby today in its mama's womb. You can be thrown in jail for killing an eagle. Did you know that? Or shooting a spotted owl. Or killing a little bitty tiny fish called a snail darter. You can even be arrested for killing a rattlesnake. Unless it gets in your home. I'm not waiting for the rattlesnake to get in my house. Are you? It's amazing. Animals have more rights, more protected than our unborn children are. And as I was preparing this message, my mind went back, Diana, to 3 years ago. We were up at Williamson County Medical Center. And we were expecting our third grandchild. And about the time we got there, they told all of us to get out of the delivery room and go sit in the waiting room. And 20 minutes later, we had our third grandbaby, Angela Gail Franks. But at the same time, I noticed when we were in the waiting room, doctors and nurses were flooding down to another delivery room. There was a baby that was in trouble that was being born. And those doctors and nurses were doing everything possible to give that baby an opportunity for life. I thought, how precious. And we prayed for that baby. But amazingly, just around the corner from Williamson Medical Center, there's another clinic. And they're down there taking the lives of unborn. What is wrong with our country? If an unborn child is killed in a vehicular accident, the driver of that vehicle can be charged with vehicular homicide. And yet, these poor ladies she was talking about, even 16-year-old girls can go to a clinic without the permission of their moms and dads. Does God's Word have anything to say about all this? Well, Pastor, I don't like preaching politics. Let me just tell you this morning, I'm not preaching politics. I'm just going to preach the Word of God to you. And we need to take a stand. Somebody needs to be a voice for these unborn children and their mothers and their families. First of all, in this passage of Scripture, this how many of you love Psalm 139? Isn't it a fantastic chapter of the Word of God? And I think the first thing that God's saying to us in this culture of death that we live in is that He is the Creator of life. God is the one who creates life. He said, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I'll praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Now, I don't exactly understand how God does all this, but He is intimately involved in your life and in mine when He created life. And what He does is He takes the sperm of that husband and the egg of that wife, and He brings the two together, and the word here is knit. Some of you ladies, how many of y'all still knit? Two? All right. That's a forgotten blessing. But God is, what the psalmist is saying here, the word means to weave or to fashion or to form. God is intimately involved in a woman's womb. When that sperm and that egg come together, He is knitting and forming life. Life begins at conception. I don't even like the term fetus. It's a baby, it's a human life, and if it's not a human life, what kind of life is it? It's a baby. And the Bible tells us that God, well, I believe it's, yes, Isaiah 44:24 says, "He formed you from the womb." God is the Creator of life. And Genesis 1:26-27 says that you were made, and your little baby boy is made in the image of God. The image of God. What does that mean? Well, it means that we're made in His likeness. Now, we're not God, obviously, but we're made in His likeness. In other words, God is the Creator, but you have creativity. God is the Holy Spirit, but you have a spirit. And that spirit gives you the capacity to worship and to love and to extend compassion and to rise above your circumstances. You have a spirit like God. And then you are... Well, God's the communicator, and we can communicate. Some of us husbands need to learn how to communicate better. But you all have the ability to talk and to read and to speak and to write. You have the ability to communicate. And the Bible says that God is holy, and we're to be like Him in holiness and righteousness and morality. We're made in the image of God. Is that not amazing? You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you. I want to tell you, it was a high water mark for me. I may not look like much to y'all, but it was a high water mark when I realized that I was created by God Himself. And Isaiah 43:7 says that I was created for His glory. And you were created for His glory. That's why you're here. Amen. Tell somebody, I was created for His glory. Yes, you were. Isn't that wonderful to know today that God created us for Him? He created life. And might I say this? There is a sacredness, a sanctity. You heard Martha talking about this in the womb of that mama. God is forming and weaving and fashioning life in that mama's womb. There's a sacredness, a sanctity about that. Isaac, I hate to keep bringing you up, but I am so stinking proud of you. You're going to carry the Hampton name on to heights never experienced before. But his mama was 45, and I was 49 when he was born. And, you know, Diana had x-rays. Her boss thought she had ulcers. And her doctor was worried about some other things, maybe cancer and blah, 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 blah. We thought we were done, but God wasn't done. And so she wound up getting an x-ray. And then they said, we're going to do an ultrasound. And lo and behold, Diana was pregnant with this baby boy. But did you know that people in their 40s who are pregnant, well, the potential for problem pregnancies at our age, they just dramatically rise. They spike. And so after that first ultrasound, the doctors wanted to do some 3D ultrasounds. You know, I can do anything anymore. And so Diana said, well, why do you want to do those? And she said, well, something wrong in the first ultrasound. And they said, no, but in your case, we need to know if there is something wrong so that you can know what your options are. And so she came home and we talked. And she, Diana finally looked at me and she said, God gave us this little baby. And we're going to have this baby no matter what. And I said with tears in my eyes, thank God for a woman like my wife. And there he sits right here. God is the creator of life. And son, you don't ever have to do anything to make your mom and daddy proud of you. We're proud of you just the way you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made in the image of God. Woo! God is the creator of life. And then the psalmist tells us that God is the cultivator of life. Look with me now at verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, did y'all know God has a book? They all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God is not only intricately and intimately involved in the conception of life. He doesn't stop there. He's there developing and growing that baby in the mama's womb. He's overseeing and supervising not just at conception, but for the whole 9 months and even after that baby is born. God's involved in the development and growth of every human being. Did you know that just 18 days after conception, the doctors can hear that baby's heartbeat? Isn't that amazing? Just 18 days. Hear that heartbeat. 6 weeks, the baby begins to move. 8 weeks, brain waves start showing up. I think I was a little bit later, but and after that baby's 12 weeks old, I mean, he or she's sucking their thumb. They've got hiccups. They're moving. They're sleeping. They're awake. All of their organs are now functioning. Ellen, did you have a chance to find some video clips of... No? That's okay. We've all got a good imagination. How many of y'all have ever seen ultrasound pictures of these babies in their mama's wombs? Isn't that amazing? I mean, they're alive. And God is developing them and growing them in their mama's womb. Now, I want to take this a step farther. If you'll look with me at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Isaiah. Jeremiah. Look at this powerful verse with me. Now this is an amazing statement, guys. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before Jeremiah was even born, before he was even conceived, God had Jeremiah on his heart. He said, I've ordained you a prophet to the nations. He had a plan and a purpose for Jeremiah's life. God has a plan and a purpose for everybody in here. Everybody in here, God's got a plan and purpose for your life. Anybody know what Jeremiah 29:11 says? I know the plans I plans not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you a what? Hope in the future. God is in the business of growing and developing and cultivating His people for His glory. Man, I look across this congregation today and we're a little low in numbers, but bless God, we're great in the Spirit. Amen? And God has a purpose in your being here. You're not here on some accident. God brought you here this morning to let you know He's not done with you. You weren't some blob of tissue years ago in your mama's womb. You are not some accident. You are a child of the King. And God is at work establishing His plan and His purpose for your life. And let's get in on that plan and that purpose. Amen? God is the cultivator of life. And then the final, I guess, truth I want to get over to us is God is the closer of life. David understood that God, since He's the one who creates life and cultivates life, God is qualified to end life. Exodus 20:13. Thou shalt not... And that word kill is really talking about murder. Innocent life. Now, war and capital punishment, these are other issues I don't have time to get into, but I want to tell you, our God is a God of life. And He's the one who has the right to end life. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of verses that talk about innocent life and how God feels about life. Proverbs 6:16 says, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. 2 Kings 24:4 says, the Lord will not pardon the shedding of innocent blood. And so where does that put a nation that has aborted over 61 million babies? It's our national disgrace. And every one of us, including me, are guilty because we sat back and allowed this to happen. And so we're all in need of repentance this morning. And you read your Bible, any nation or group of people that starts killing innocent life, that nation isn't around long. They're under the judgment of Almighty God. And I want to tell you, when we get to the point when we begin to say, well, this is a wanted baby and this is an unwanted baby, or this is a healthy child and this is an unhealthy child, or this is a productive senior citizen and this is an unproductive senior citizen, and we begin right then to start setting ourselves up as God. Do you know what the next step is in America if we don't stop all this carnage? We're going to get to the point where we'll start getting rid of the folks who are mentally and physically challenged. And then senior adults will begin to experience euthanasia on the same level as these unborn babies are experiencing abortion in our country. What can we do, Pastor? What can we do, Cal? Well, number one, you can call your congressman and write them. Stay involved. You can get involved in Tennessee Right to Life. You can partner and get involved with Hope Pregnancy Center. And most importantly, you can begin to pray, where we might be able to plug into the solution for this problem, this culture of death that we're living in, and be a part of the solution. I don't know about how you feel this morning, but I want to be a part of changing this culture of death that we live in into a culture of life. Amen. There was a couple of our SBC missionaries in the Philippines about 32 years ago. And they were praying for their fifth child. How many of y'all would be praying for five children? But this couple's on the mission field, and they're praying for a baby boy. They want a boy, and they told the Lord, if you'll give us a baby boy, we're going to give him a biblical name, and we're going to ask you to make a preacher out of him. True story. And before that, she wound up pregnant, This woman, this missionary lady, she got deathly sick, and she had an amoebic dysentery which came from a parasite that gave her a tremendous infection, which was the result of eating or drinking contaminated food or water. And she wound up in the hospital in a coma. And they began to administer some strong medicine to her, powerful antibiotics. And when she came out of the coma, the doctors told her, said, "We're so thankful that you've made it out of this coma, and you're still not out of the woods yet. And by the way, you're pregnant." And they gave her the advice, "Since you have received these strong medications and powerful antibiotics, there's going to be something wrong with your baby. And our advice is to say goodbye and abort that baby." And she said, well, she shared her faith with their doctors, and she said, "I'm a Christian, and we believe that God gave us this baby, and we're going to let God do what He wants to do, and I'm going to fight for this baby's life." And so she and her husband began to pray earnestly. And they reminded God of the promise that they'd given Him. And things went pretty well until about the last 2 months of her pregnancy, and then she was bedridden. And she almost lost the baby 4 times. But on August the 14th of 1987, she brought into this world a beautiful baby boy, and they named him Timothy. You probably know him better as Tim Tebow. Super Bowl's about to come on here in a couple of weeks, and you'll see some of his ads for life during the Super Bowl ads. I'm like Tim. I want to be a part of lifting up life in our country. But there's one greater than I am, far greater, who said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." In other words, abundant life, eternal life. That's God's plan. We've come to the most important time of this service. And if you aren't sure about your life in Christ, today is the day to settle that issue. And the Bible simply says, the plan of God, God's plan of salvation is not something that only rocket scientists can figure out. We made something really tough out of it. It didn't come cheaply, but the plan of salvation is simply this. If you'd be willing to repent of your sin, and that word repent means a change of the mind, a change of the will, and by faith receive what Christ did for you on a cruel Roman cross so that you could be forgiven, and just simply by faith ask God to forgive you and receive Him, my Bible tells me one day you can walk with the King on streets of gold. Do you have that kind of life? Do you have an abundance of life today? Do you know that you're headed towards eternity with Him? I'd get that issue settled today. God wants you to have life. Not just any kind of life. Abundant life and life eternal. And maybe the message for the rest of us this morning is, you know what? I need to be a champion for life. Or maybe you're still struggling with conviction over this issue. And let me just say to you, I'm so glad they're not writing a Bible today, because my name would be all in it and it would not be good. All of us are in the same boat. We're sinners by birth and sinners by choice. And Jesus is the only one that can make anything out of us. And if you'll come to Him today with a repentant spirit, God's precious Son shed His blood so that we could be forgiven, cleansed, washed from all of our sin. Would you pray with me right now as we bow our heads? Father, there is no one like You. We just stand in need today of your forgiveness for letting this atrocity happen on our watch. 61 million, that's a whole nation of people. The vast majority of which did not need to happen. And Lord, there are people here in this service today that are struggling. They're feeling, they've got a sense of guilt and shame and embarrassment. And God, you can clean us up and forgive us and wash us white as snow. And many of us are here and we just kind of walk past this issue time and time again. And you're calling us to serve, to take a stand for life in our community. And above all else, Lord, I pray for those that need to come to Jesus today by repentance and faith. And I pray it in the matchless name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.